You know, a lot of times people say, well, these older songs, they're not contemporary, they're not with it. I think that song's very contemporary. And I say that based on that verse that we just sang there. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? You know, if there's one problem that people have today, it's what we call interpersonal relationships. Yeah. Okay, and they don't get along. Yeah. Okay, they're upset with each other, always talking about each other. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And his arms he'll take and shield thee. And that's where you'll find comfort. Not by gossiping to anybody and everybody. Just take it to the Lord, leave it with him, and he'll take care of you. All right, now, I like this idea of recording with a phone because I don't have to remember to turn it on. Say, you know, I have a study that I did, and I've done some teaching in Sunday school class. I know I did it in the teen class, and I've done some preaching some places on it. Now, I keep a record of where I preach it and everything, but that doesn't mean that I always know what I did and where I did it. But it's a series that what God calls us, Bible names for God's people. Now, I'm not going to preach a whole series, okay, because there are 20 points and a two-third page conclusion, okay? But he calls us Christians, describes our conduct. He calls us saints, describes our character. He calls us believer, describes our convictions. Disciple describes our commitment. Brethren describes our company. He calls us servant, describes our work. He calls us friend, describes a relationship. Vessel describes one of God's uses of us. Ambassador describes our representation. Steward describes one of our occupations. Soldier describes our privilege. Witnesses describes our responsibility. Calls us light, describes how we are to represent Christ. He calls us salt. It describes how we are to affect others. He calls us church and describes the Christians as a group. He calls us the body of Christ, and it describes a relationship to God and to other Christians. He calls us a building, and that describes how we were constructed. We are known as a priesthood, describing the functions of a Christian. He calls us a field and describes our development. And then lastly, he calls us a bride and describes our importance to Christ. And so those are some of the things. Now, tonight, what I want to look at is the names that he calls us as servants. He calls us servants, and he calls us friends. Now, we're going to look first of all at friend. John chapter 15, if you will, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, I just realized I'm hearing, is that heater running over there? Okay, then that's why I'm here. I keep hearing something. I thought, well, there can't be mowing lawns outside yet. And I keep hearing something, and so it must be that heater. Okay, it is. Thank you, Sam. That satisfies that curiosity. All right, John, Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now, while the Bible is full of examples of the master/servant relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and us as his believers, we find that God sees our relationship with a different attitude. And that's expressed here in John 15, 15, when he calls us friends. He makes it very clear in the beginning of the verse, henceforth I call you not servants. Now the reason he says he doesn't call us servants is and he tells us right there in the verse, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. The Lord just does it. It doesn't matter whether the servant knows what's going on or not. Doesn't matter whether the servant likes the idea or not. And you know, the master simply says, this is what we're going to do. This is when we're going to do it. Here's how it's going to happen. And the master, there's a sense, the earthly human master, there's a sense in which he doesn't care what the servant thinks about it. This is what's going to happen. But Jesus here said, I don't call you servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. And then he explains, I have called you friends. And he explains why he calls us friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. You see, he takes us to the inner circle of friendship. He says, a master doesn't have to explain things to the servant, but he said, I'm explaining things to you. Why? Because we're friends. And so it is, we sing that song that we did tonight, what a friend we have in Jesus. And how we are able to go to him and maintain with him that intimacy of a friendship. And that's very important. Now, I am not trying to say in any sense that the master-servant relationship does not exist. But it is the master-servant relationship that we have with God is not typical. John 15, 15 shows the difference that we don't only receive a command, but we're also told about it and told the reason for it. And earlier in this chapter, we're told to abide in him. But he doesn't just command us, abide in me. He goes on and explains why we are to abide in him. We cannot bear fruit unless we abide in him. And he wants not only for us to bear fruit, he wants us to bear more fruit, much fruit. And so he's going into explanation. God does this. He goes into explanation with us as to what it is he wants from us, how we benefit from that, what the experience will be like. Why does he do that? Because we are a friend of Jesus. Now, let me just pause there for a minute, because what I just said is absolutely so. From our side of things, we must be careful that we do not allow the friendship that Jesus has given to us, we should be careful that we do not allow ourselves to get with Jesus overly friendly. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. If you're friends with somebody, you get very familiar with them. And that has benefit. You know them, you know how they think, you know why they think, and you are able to interact with them and everything. But one of the problems from getting overly friendly with an earthly friend is that you can begin to take them for granted, and you can take advantage of them. And when somebody one of my general advices is it's not good for somebody who owns a business to hire a friend. Okay, it can cause problems. And you know the problem that often happens is the hired one takes advantage of the friendship and thinks they can get by doing less with the boss than what other people do. Now that shouldn't be, but it happens. And so we must be careful, though God has called us his friend, Jesus has called us his friend, and says we have a relationship, that we are friends, we must be careful. Listen, we are friends with Jesus Christ, but we're not backslapping buddies. He is still an holy God before whom we are to come in awe. And we should not, because we are able to sing songs like "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," we must be careful that we don't feel like somehow we can get by with some things, because after all, I have that one-on-one relationship with Jesus. Yeah, we do. It's called salvation. But he is still an awesome, sinless, holy God. And our relationship with him must keep that totally in mind. And so we have, Jesus stated it clearly in John 15:15. "Henceforth, I call you not servants." Now, why does he say that? He says that because he is trying to show to them the kind of relationship that he has given to them, and how the kind of relationship that you and I have with him. We talk about having a personal salvation. Personal in the sense that we individually have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we have an individual, a personal relationship. It isn't a relationship that just comes by an organization like the local church. It isn't a relationship that we have with him because we are part of a particular denomination. No, it is a personal relationship. It isn't just the fact that we know mentally, academically, historically about God and about Jesus Christ, but we have personally heard about Jesus Christ. And so we have entered into a personal relationship. And I believe that's what Jesus is emphasizing to us here in John 15:15. He says, "I have called you friends." Now let's move to the other song that we sang about tonight, and that is about service, okay? And being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to remember the title of the first song, "In the Service of the King." And we are servants. And in light of John 15:15, we nevertheless ask the question, well, how are we God's servants? If he doesn't call us servants, then who am I to say that we are servants? You see, the Lord uses in his teaching in many different places, he illustrates frequently his teachings with the master-servant relationship. Let's just look at two of them. We're in John 15, look at verse 20. In John 15, verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And so here he is telling us he is our Lord. And he, though he said in verse 15, he does not call us servants, he nevertheless here identifies the fact that, you know, the servant isn't greater than the Lord. Amen. And one other reference would be in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to look at verse 23, and we see again how Jesus illustrates Luke 14 and verse 23. "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." So here again, he illustrates the matter of servanthood. Yet we never see Jesus calling his disciples servants. And while the relationship certainly existed then and does today, it's with a different attitude. See, his attitude toward us as his servants is one of being a friend. And that's in 15:15 exactly what he called us. We do see, however, the people of God gladly calling themselves servants. Okay? So you see, you read this Bible and you say, well, yeah, now wait a minute, though. But it talks about being servants. Yes. But Jesus didn't call us servants. He called us friend. And he illustrated with masterhood and servanthood. But let's look at some other scriptures now. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. Where the Apostle Paul says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, the servant of the Lord. Ah, yes, we are servants of the Lord. James 1:1, going back a little further, after the book of Hebrews, we come to James. James chapter 1, verse 1. What does James say? James, what does it say? Tell me, read it. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So James calls himself a servant. And Paul, in writing to Timothy, said that a servant of the Lord must not strive. And we generally apply, and I think rightly apply that to a pastor, and how he is not to strive, but to be apt to teach, and but we're called servants. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul is speaking here, and in Titus 1:1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So here again, now we have James, we have Paul. In the book of Luke, we read about servants. And so here we see this matter of being a servant. But you see, this is a voluntary submission that we have. We're servants not because Jesus Christ said, you're my servant and I'm your master. Submit to me. No, he says, you're my friend. Now, how do you treat a friend? How do you treat your friend? You see, if you have somebody who's a friend to you, what are you? You're kind to them. You're considerate of them. You're friendly with them. Okay? Because they're what? Your friend. And that's the relationship that Jesus said we have with him. But because that's true, we submit ourselves to him. And so this voluntary submission that we have to our friend Jesus Christ comes naturally because of a changed heart. You see, before we were saved, we had one heart, and that was self-centered. But when we got born again, the Holy Spirit came to live within, and we got a new nature. He calls it a divine nature. And as a result, now we have a changed heart where the Holy Spirit lives. And as a result of that now, we submit ourselves to him. We are voluntarily his servant. That's what James knew, and that's what Paul knew when they wrote in their scriptures, and the others of the apostles, that they were servants of Jesus Christ. The Bible also makes a relationship, a picture of the change that God gives when it comes to earthly circumstances. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 7, 22. Now, us preachers are so adept at this. We're actually going to go back a little before verse 22. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Okay, so if you're saved as a truck driver, you stay as a truck driver. Okay, you got saved as a wife, you stay as a wife. Okay, you got saved as a son, you remain a son. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now we're going to see how Paul specifically uses that. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. What Paul is teaching them is, look, because they did have slaves then. And what he's saying is if you're a slave and you got saved, you remain a slave. Isn't that what we're studying in Philemon and Onesimus? Okay, and the slave was to remain a slave. Paul sent him back to his friend Philemon and told Onesimus, now you keep serving Philemon. And so here that's what he's telling us. But he also tells us there, if you're saved being free, now that'd be true of all of us, right? Were you a slave, Brother Dale? You were? No, I don't mean with your wife. Were you? He wasn't a slave. Chris isn't a slave. Tanya's not a slave. Audie, I'm not going to ask you who your mother's not. You're allowed to speak up. And so, we're free men. But he tells us in the end of the 22nd verse, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Oh, we may not have been a slave, but we may be free. But when we get saved, we now become a servant. And so God's whole outlook on this matter of servanthood is one of a voluntary position and practice. And the primary point of the master-servant relationship is pleasing God. It's the whole thing. Why do I consider myself a servant? In our day, when man doesn't want anybody to rule over him, to be in control of him, he wants to be able to absolutely make his own decisions. this is a day when we are to voluntarily become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in order to please him. One last scripture, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we live to please God. If we're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, then we live to please him. We don't live to please other people. Now that doesn't mean that we should go about conducting ourselves in such a manner as to displease them. He's not talking about that kind of foolishness. But he is saying that as servants of Christ, we are to be pleasing him. And that is indeed a very God-given opportunity that he has given to us. All right, we're going to take some prayer requests now. Reminder that we're going to be praying for Dan Bergman, wife Lois.